Welcome to Star from the Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, Hannah Jones, we have Talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can check me out on Twitter. And I have the links to the YouTube live stream there. So you can watch or mainly listen because of I currently do not broadcast my own visage. You know, I'm not sure you guys really want to. It might break your cameras. Might break your computer screens. But of course, if you want to contact me and mention that, hey, we actually like to see your face, you might want to email me sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is Franz Games, FRANZ. And of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, just I have an account on, you know, the podcast account is sfuoncall. That's sfuoncall. Big surprise. And my personal account is Paul Franz. So to find me there, just go to twitter.com/PaulFrance. If you want to follow me there, just warning, it's going to be about Catholic stuff, tech stuff, stuff not always related to SFB. So, and of course, then my last account is Franz Games, where I tell about news about what's going on in Franz Games, client updates, and other projects that are happening there. So it's actually usually very quiet, except for I also retweet about the announcement for this week's podcast. Also, of course, this lovely Talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Just last week, there were at least 23 new items of Shapeways, which I showed you on the podcast last week. If you looked at the live stream, and those are, of course, those podcast, I would recommend you actually look at at least the beginning part if you want to actually see what miniatures that we're actually looking at. Also, Steve Cole was busy working on episode number 53 this past week. Also, the blog, newsletter, Shapeways, and other projects. Steve Patrick, of course, has been working on SCP updates and also the Grand Master Starship book. Gene worked on, of course, releasing all of those ships and making sure that the Shapeways store keeps on working as well as it does. So she uploaded, of course, those 23 new ships and keeping things going steadily there. And also beating down the spam assault on the BBS. And, of course, taking care of customers and managing the lovely Facebook page and where we have they have over 4,000 friends on the page. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournaments. Of course, we've got the Masters Tournament 2018. It's 2019 at this moment, but the tournament's still going on from 2018. It happens. For those people who are a part of that tournament, please get your button gear and get those games completed. And if you're having problems with completing them, like contacting your opponent, please tell me or Andrew Koch, who is the actual judge for this tournament. I know I still got to get back to my game, and I probably will hopefully get back to it this weekend, if not next week. Of course, Rat 48, run by Bryn Meimer, still staying stuck. We have one game completed, and nothing else has been communicated to us. Moving on to SOP Online itself, we actually, a new client has been released with Stripe support. Stripe, not the credit card service. Striping as in stripes on the actual counters. So you can select a stripe color for the counter for if you want, let's say you want a team, and you want the team to all be using the same color. And of course, if you have multiple empires, it's going to have different colors on the base unit. But then if you have a stripe to say, okay, our team is going to be turning red. So all of our ships are going to have a red stripe. So then you can delineate that. And, of course, there's the fix for the PF rack and normal launcher. So you actually can use both when both of them, when the ship has both of those. There was a bug way back, and I finally got around to releasing it. I thought it was going to take me longer than it did, and it didn't. Got it out this past weekend, so enjoy the fixes that were released for the client. Library report. I actually just got sent out an email today because I actually did a quick review of the library, and what's happening with the library is that most of the ships that have not yet been completed are Omega or LMC ships. There are some, of course, PF ships, which we can't do anything about. But there are also some other ships which I have just brought to the attention to the other helpers in this regard. And hopefully we can get those removed. Because I said, okay, are these real ships? Because a lot of them are like captured ships, which I'm not sure. There weren't that many actual captured ships that were able to be redone. I think most of them were like Brothers of, I forget what it was called, Brothers of something. The whole idea was like the Hydrin ship that, you know, the Klingon ship that was captured by the Hydrins. You know, that kind of thing. But still, I have yet changed the numbers for the completed conversions. The completed conversions have not changed, which is 2,426. Yet to be converted 906. This actually, that number will probably be going down by, at the very least, like 6, 7, or 8, I think it was. Was the number. I think it was number was 7. Currently it's 906. That will probably be decreasing because of those ships that are not real ships will be removed. Percent complete again stays at 72.8. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have the wonderful voice of Barry Kirk. How you doing, Barry?
Doing wonderful.
Okay, cool.
But, wonderful voice. Yeah. Yeah.
Had a little late start because I have having some technical difficulties on my
coming
end.
Coming to you from Cincinnati.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Home of the Reds.
Yeah.
They're a baseball
yeah,
team.
Yeah, I drove on my way home from work. Some days I drive right past their stadium.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I've yet to be in Cincinnati.
My apartment's actually in Kentucky.
Right.
Which is literally the stadium is on the Ohio River. And Kentucky is, and I'm going downstairs into the basement, so I may lose you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Hang on. I hope you can't hear that. There's a timer going off.
Fortunately, I cannot hear it. But yeah,
go back upstairs. Turn off the timer.
It's good to hear. And unfortunately, I know both of us will be unable to.
Hang on.
Unfortunately, I know both of us will be unable to attend. Gamers of Winter, because I actually cannot make it because of my wife has other things scheduled for that weekend. So, and my son's coming in, so it's like, yeah, I will not be able to make it. So I got to contact Doug and say, Doug, I'm sorry, but this is going to be one of those ones I'm going to have to miss for a change. And I'll make sure.
Is that this weekend?
No, it's next weekend. This weekend is the 12th.
Okay.
They're going for...
I don't know. It's possible I might be able to make it for one day next weekend, bizarrely enough.
What day are you thinking about coming in?
It's looking like the next job I What's that?
What day are you thinking might be coming?
My next job looks like it's in Frederick. Well, my next job is in Frederick, Maryland.
Right.
I may just have the weekend off. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, the question is Monday, really.
Maybe working.
So you'll be working on the holiday.
Oh, Monday I have to work. It's not a holiday for me.
Understood.
As it was, New Year's Eve was not a holiday for the company I worked for.
Mm-hmm.
And
understood.
I was not able to take that off, so I took that off without pay. That was painful.
Yeah, well, I was working that night. I was working that day anyway. So, I worked.
I was
on
driving that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I decided to go home for 4 days, and really, it was. I probably had 2 days at home. Freaking Cincinnati is a long way.
Understood.
Yeah. But I guess February 6th is so that.
The thing is,
February 6th is a Wednesday, so that's Thursday. February 7th, I will not be on talk sheet.
Okay. The question.
February 7th.
Actually.
I'll be sitting on a beach.
Oh. On a beach where?
Oh, where the water is warm enough that I can actually go swimming in the ocean.
Okay, so basically you're heading down to the Caribbean.
Commit. Yeah, Punta Cana. I went to Puerto Plata, which is on the other side of the island, or another part of the island, last year at the same time, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
This year we're going to Punta Cana, and it's a nice cheap vacation.
I got one question. How close are you to Sandusky, Ohio?
Yes. Oh, I think that's on the other side of the state.
Okay.
Yeah, Sandusky, Ohio, I believe, is on the Great Lakes. So that would make it the northern portion. Are you referring to the amusement park out there?
No, I'm referring to StratCon. Yep, that's from the lake, yep.
Yeah, it's right on the lake.
Yep.
And that's the northern side of Ohio. And, of course, Cincinnati is about as far south in Ohio as you can get.
Understood. I understand that. So basically you're going from one end of the state to the other end of the state. I was just wondering if you could possibly make that.
North to south, it's when is that?
That's February 16th through 24th.
Probably not. and the reason I say that is that I'm already on a week's vacation earlier in February. I don't think my boss would appreciate me taking another vacation back soon afterwards.
Understood. Just wondering, because
as it is, as it is. I'm probably in July going to be taking a vacation. Well, 4 days anyway, because
Understood.
Yeah. In July, my wife and son are going down to New Orleans for a week, and I may spend a couple of days down there with them. New Orleans, from where I'm at, is driving range.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay, well, to get back on to the, actually, yeah, the topic for this.
It's about a one day drive from.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Oh, we have a topic?
Yes. I'm sure people aren't as intensely interested in what you're doing, because obviously this is recorded for posterity. So, always yes. Is. And that is that we, the topic for this evening actually is a review of last year's New Year's resolutions for both Starfleet Warlord and SFBL9, how well I did, how bad I did, and what to do about this year. And some of those will actually...
Uh-huh.
And some of that will actually is kind of obvious if you actually look at it. Let's go through them. Let's start with Starfleet Warlord because that was the easiest to find. Because I still had an email. The New Year's resolutions for Starfleet Warlord were, number one, make a web browser-based aid utility. Successful or not? No success. That's a failure there. Better advertise and push beginner games. Now that, again, is the better advertising is definitely. I didn't do much really good with that, though. I must admit that we do have an increase. We have had an increase in the people involved in the Facebook group, which is good to see. More people want to be invited to it and actually become part of the group. I have not had problems with spammers yet. That's the reason why currently it is a closed group. Well, not closed group, but you have to ask to be invited. And that's been working out fine. Because we're using that currently as our main communication for
Starfleet Battles Online.
No, this is Starfleet Warlord.
Is this Starfleet Battles Online and on Facebook? Oh, Starfleet Warlord.
Starfleet Warlord. I haven't got the Starfleet Battles Online yet. Haven't got to that part. That's next topic or next part of this topic. So both those not going good. I had one beginner game and it just kind of disappeared. So there's some things that I wanted to do to improve the getting people more involved. I got some ideas on what to do. I have to think about how to get them done. And I think I'm probably going to do is add those onto this year's New Year's resolutions. Some of these actually are going to be related to last year's. Now my stretch goals, if I got those completed, or at least I felt like I got those moving, was one to work on automated the running of the turns, which would allow me to then speed up the processing of the turns. What I really would like is if I could get every single person that currently is involved in faxing me in the orders or emailing me in a scanned in copy of their orders to go electronic. Have it so they use the aid, or if I get the browser based aid going, use that instead, and have it so they can actually submit everything through that.
Right.
You know, so then I can just automate the whole process and boom, we can get these things really just moving. And the only intervention will be me in helping resolving any issues that they have with not getting orders or things along those lines. Hopefully, with automating the process, it would actually decrease that. Well, I wasn't able to do that. Get the engine to work under Linux/FreeBSD/Mac native instead of Windows. And that's basically so that currently the engine requires that I run Windows. And also the benefit of that is actually getting it to run on a server itself instead of especially with that with the automated process would just dovetail it together and make it so that the people could submit it on the server. I could just press a button, boom, it would go process all the orders and it would go on its merry way. And then, of course, then there's the next level part of that, which is things what I call learner. I've started a new kind of game called learner games. These are free games of they're 3x3 galaxies. So they're very small games, and the whole and what I just have it is that the home world, the home sector for that person is in the middle, and then all the they're surrounded by, NPCs slash monsters slash other automated players basically. So it's all completely automated. The whole idea is just to learn the game, learn the orders, learn how things work. And that's the learner games. I'm not charging for them, but I have not advertised those yet. I don't want to advertise them too greatly because of there's still a manual process. But I got at least one person who ran through a learner's game. And the great thing about learner's games is since it's they're a single person, I can, instead of running them every 2 weeks, I can run them every day or every other day or along those lines so they can be moved quickly. Again, something that failed. Now, that only thing about that I can mention is that I have been thinking about how to do it. Now, because the first time I looked into actually moving the engine to Linux and Mac and FreeBSD, I actually had to start modifying some code. I'm modifying this. I was thinking, okay, why not just have it so that the whole thing just ran like on the Mac? And the biggest issue is the actual text-based screen because of, it's the old 80 characters by 25 character screen. And paths for Macs and Linux and all of them are much larger than DOS, where you might have a directory structure of, 10, 12, maybe 20 characters? It can be larger, but I'm the one running it. Mm-hmm. So it's actually very, very small. So I was thinking about how can I actually do this without recoding everything? And I actually came up with an idea. And that is basically what I have to do is I have to wrap all of the calls to the file that use file system paths, these file paths. And for that, what I'm thinking about doing is something simple. What I would do is set one path that you would hopefully be able to pass in on the command line. I got to figure out how to do command line parameters in Clipper. Shouldn't be too hard, I'm hoping. And that then can be prepended onto all the file paths and make sure that all the file paths that are currently backslashes or forward slashes and things like that. So that basically you're just specifying a root. So anything that ends, that was like C:\ whatever, it then would be converted, change the C:\ to just be, okay, replace the C: with the substitute of the what you passed in on the command line as your home directory for the installation of the Warlord engine. And I figured that's going to take a little bit of time, because especially with the wrapping and all that, I got to see if I actually can specify global variables in Clipper. Because if I can, then it's going to be very simple. If I can't, then there's going to be a lot of passing that parameter along a lot of places. It's going to require a lot of changes. In which case, I think that would probably make it the simplest to do. Because then we can keep the whole old interface without modifying it at all. But we can actually specify a home directory so that we can support Linux and or FreeBSD or Mac, whatever. Basically non-Windows. So it's not done, but at least I have an idea of how to move that forward. And obviously the whole thing with automated running of a turn, that would also require the ability to accept command line parameters. That's kind of that'd be part of the process. So that's one of those things I have to figure out. And again, I might require a little bit of, I gotta figure out how Clipper does things when it comes to, because with C programs, it's easy. Okay, you have the main function, and the main function is what's called when you start up a program. And, you know, in Java, same kind of thing. You have a main method, and that gets called when you instantiate that class. And that's the class that you run the program from. You know, things like that. So, unfortunately, I've got a zero for Starfleet Warlord. Though, there is hope, because there is a couple of individuals that were interested in working on an aid utility for Starfleet Warlord. And I told them that basically, you know, they can create it, and I'll give them, you know, the APIs. Actually, I need to talk to them about the APIs a little more. They won't be able to work on it until February. Hopefully, these guys can get that done. And I can focus on that, and I can focus on possibly the back end, maybe supporting I'm not sure if they need me to support REST APIs, which would require some work on my part. Because currently I have JSON APIs. They're not REST, but they're JSON. Basically, you pass in the JSON into it's in the post request that you send in the JSON. And then it will process the JSON and then return you back. And it does also supports basic authentication on the server end. So I just have to, and of course, then I have to make sure I can automate the whole process of uploading turns and running of games and things like that. And of course, if I can get it switched over to Linux or FreeBSD or Mac, I can possibly, instead of running up on my local machine, I can run them in the cloud. Or the cloud, in this case, being DigitalOcean. Because I have some basic VMs in that. I'm not actually using connecting into cloud servers like AWS, which I detest AWS, but that's a personal thing. So that's currently the past for that. I'm first going to do the pass for both of them, and then I'll come back to Warlord later on in the podcast. Okay. And let me...
Okay. Oh, by the way, one minor. It is your turn and through the ages.
Oh, yeah. Forgot. Sorry. I've been trying to keep up, you know, visit it once a day, because we have... In that game, we have three players. Oh, yeah. And I'll process my turn, and then of course
I know I would.
Yes.
I know, that was my bad. I was the first time I had created a multiplayer game, and I didn't know that I had to set up players 3 and 4 as non-existent.
Right.
And so 2 random players popped in. And
well,
like,
one
oh,
random.
Crap.
Well, it's 1 random player, 1 automated player.
And it's like at that.
It's obviously the one right after me.
Automated player.
Yeah, the one after me is obviously automated. I'm sorry, I have a hard time believing that person's always online.
Oh, okay. Ah. Okay, because every time you make a move, they immediately make a move?
Correct. And I'm pretty sure it's marked as...
That explains the gearbox next to them.
Right, exactly. That's why I think that indicates...
That, I was wondering what that symbol was.
Yep.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
I don't know how that happened.
My guess is that we had one person join.
Huh.
No one else wanted to join our game. And so it timed out. And so
yeah. It
just added an automated player. So I will get back to that.
Or, no, there's another possibility. If you resign, I think it's... They turn them into an automated.
That is possible.
I was wondering what that symbol meant.
But yeah, he must have resigned really early on because it's always been like that. Since the first time I ran, which
yeah.
I understand it took me a while to get my first turn done because I'm still fighting with the interface and not just fighting the interface. Understanding the interface, remembering how the game is played. You know, it's...
yeah.
It's not like I can stop and ask people questions about how it works. Yeah, and to me, this is a learner's game for me.
Yeah.
I figure the next game, I'll probably play much better than
it's
I'm currently
what?
Playing. Because Lord knows, I've had some really. You get these.
Oh yeah.
I'm the worst player in that game, so all these things get beat up on me. You know, I've had to kill at least three different my workers. So the problem is what?
Yeah. I know. The problem was that you had the lowest military, and that makes whoever in this game if you have the weakest military or the weakest strength, you become a target.
Mm-hmm.
A target. One is in the diplomatic action. If somebody has seated the deck, there's no defense against that. It has to be.
Oh, understood.
And. And yeah, weak enough that somebody gives aggression against you. Yeah.
Oh. Understood. I'm being beat up on. I'll probably lose this game. Really well. So. We'll have to see how it all plays out. But anyway, getting back to the topic for this evening. The SAP Online New Year's resolutions for this past year. The first one was to complete the conversion of the ship definition for 2/3 generation. This did not happen. We got to 72.8%. And actually, as I just stated in the news portion of this, I've actually did a quick look-see at the library of things that have yet to be converted.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, I don't think we can currently convert without some really big help from Steve Cole. I'm not sure if he'll do them. And that is, a lot of them are Omegas and LMCs. Okay, next thing we wanted to do is actually that didn't quite go, which was add the ability to watch games on the web browser, which I think would be a great, great benefit because one thing that did was mentioned by Patient Zero on the YouTube those comments, which was obviously the streaming of live games. Now, one thing he recommended, he had a suggestion, which is, of course, the big issue with live SFB is it can go kind of slowly. But the whole idea of speed SFB, that we have you limit what your that you have, basically you have to put time limits on impulse activity, you have time limits on moving, you have time limits on EAs. Which I think is the whole idea of putting time limits, I think is a good idea because it would definitely speed things up. Now, obviously, I don't think we'll ever get to the speed of a game like Star Wars X-Wings. Because of basically, it's like playing Silent Death. Silent Death and that game have a lot in common. The big difference there is just the movements, the movement system. Was that Barry?
Oh no, I'm not familiar with Silent Death. I thought you were referring to another game that we played at the last Gamers this summer, but
no. Silent Death is a game.
I don't know if you were there for that one.
That I used to play around. I'm thinking about it. 15 years ago, maybe longer ago. First time I played it was actually at Origins, is where I played it. It's a really simple game. Actually, okay. I bought a copy of it. It's a movement-based game. The whole idea is really simple. Each ship has a movement, has a number of movements that it can do. And moving like, if you wanted to move ahead one hex, it costs you one movement. Maybe to turn, it might cost you two. To turn the ship like two hexes, like do a hard right turn, might cost you three or four. To reverse yourself might cost you like might cost you like four, you know, and you might have six total. Now, they use an initiative-based system. So what you would do is that you'd roll for initiative, and then the first person would go. The person who lost initiative would go first, and then they go move their ship to all of those movement, and then stop. Then the next person would move their ship using up all their movements, and boom, boom, and stop. So it's a really simplistic system. Same thing happens with X-Wings. X-Wings is a little different in that you have a maximum amount of speed you have, and also going that speed, you have what happens is there is a kind of turn mode. They have these arc templates that you use because they're miniatures. So based upon how maneuverable you are, you use a different arc. And then what you would do is... After a turn, you would move a certain amount along. If you're turning along the hex, or if you want to, you can go straight or whatever you want to do. But you do that after you roll initiative, you know. So things go really, really, really fast, especially for that one because there is no. You just decide, okay, am I going to go straight or am I going to turn? That's all there is. Starfleet Battles, you're making a decision every single impulse. Even if you switched over to FedCom, you're making a decision every single impulse. In FedCom, it's called subpulses. You're making a decision.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, there are certain decisions that... There are certain decisions that have been removed from you. Things like, speed changes. The only time you can do a kind of a quote-unquote mid-term speed change in SFB terms once every 4 subpulses. You know, but every subpulse that you move, you have to make a decision. Am I going to cancel that movement? So,
right.
There's still a lot of decisions that have to be taking place, and therefore it takes a lot longer. And I've not tried this yet.
Yeah, FedCom does streamline things, and FedCom is a little more streamlined than Starfleet Command, Starfleet Battles, but not much.
Exactly.
There's no energy allocation or very minimal, and also you don't have to make a decision every impulse whether you're. Have impulse activity.
Right.
It's only every 4th impulse.
Yeah, but at the same time.
So that helps.
Come on, Barry. Let's be honest about this. When it comes to Starfleet battles, you know whether you're going to be doing impulse activity most of the time. Let's say 75% of the time, you know that impulse whether before you even move, you know whether you're going to be doing anything or not. You know. That's why we have this whole
correct.
Thing. That's
most
why,
of the time.
Right? That's why we have this the whole idea of zip in like SB Online.
Yes.
Or even in tournaments, you know, on
right.
real life, where you say, "Oh, you're gonna zip." Okay, yeah. You know, okay, who moves? Okay, you move, then I move. Okay, boom, boom, boom. Okay, you move, then I move. Boom, boom, and you keep going until someone says, "Okay, wait, stop." Okay, now we gotta slow down a little bit. But again, there is no need for waiting. You know?
Right. I know. Now, I will say there's other games that, like, and I'm going to mention Squadron Strike, where it's plot, move, shoot. Plot, move, shoot. And that's what the plot, move, shoot is one turn.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to plot every turn, you get to shoot every turn, or move every turn, and you get to shoot every turn. And it does make the games faster in the sense that there's a lot less decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
It does play faster. But, of course, you can get into a situation like plotted movement where, oh, I'm over there, and,
right.
you know.
Well,
where you shoot past somebody before you have a chance to shoot at them.
Oh, understood. But the one thing I would love to find out, I would love to try this sometime with somebody if they would be agreeable to it. And that is basically that. Using plotted movement. Use 8 for like...
Okay.
You can either use 4 impulse or 8 impulse or... Figured I'll probably start with 8 impulse and maybe move to 4 impulse if 8 impulse seems like a little too big of a burden. And try to use 8 impulse plotted movement. So there's no decisions
plotted.
To...
Okay. Well, remember, I got started with Starfleet Battles in the days where movement, you plotted your entire movement for the turn during energy allocation.
Oh, understood.
And
so same for Steve Petrick.
What's that?
Steve Petrick that's when he started too. But so because here's the thing. Here is always my question about plotted movement. And it's one thing that I really would like to have someone to test the theory out with. And here's the theory.
Yep.
Now, it's going to take the hard part is going to be it's going to take a few times playing the game this way to actually know whether it speeds it up or not. And that is...
Right.
Does the amount of time taken to do plotted movement, is that greater than it would take to do the individual decisions along the way?
Individual decisions.
Yep.
Yeah, because, it certainly takes more time to plot the movement for a whole turn and to decide which way you're going to go on an individual impulse. So, but the question is it 32 times the amount of time?
Oh, agreed. You know, but I would really like to have someone around that would actually be willing to try it. You know? Now, obviously, it was probably the easiest way of doing it actually would be in person. Because then the person can write down the instructions on a piece of paper and then just follow those instructions.
Well, I will say one thing about plotted movement.
Mm-hmm.
It does change the nature of the game in the sense that it makes plasma torpedoes much more powerful.
Understood. I mean, well, it makes seeking weapons in general more powerful.
Webs become more powerful, yes. Andromeda has actually become more powerful. The displacement device becomes very powerful.
Understood. And that, well, see, that's the reason why I would be, you know, I'd want to know, try both 8, and then if 8 just seems to be too much, do 4, because 4 is, you know, like FedCom.
Where you don't get much. Yeah.
You don't run into the same issue that you get with 8. You know,
yeah.
And basically, the whole idea is manageability at that point. You know, would you be able to, you know, the benefits that you get for the seeking weapons when you use plotted movement, will trimming it only down to 4, will that fix it? And also, because there's so many things that would have to be looked at because of...
FedCom did it the reverse. It wasn't... They actually...
Oh, I know.
Movement itself is not plotted. It's firing that's plotted. Or every 4 impulses.
Well, it's the side of every 4 impulses.
That actually makes... So that can actually make... interesting things where, especially if you're at close range, it's like, okay, crap, we're going to be passing each other. Now that's when you start spending energy to decelerate to maintain the correct facing to fire your weapons.
Right.
Or say, oh, I'm going to go right past you and get... and behind you, and you didn't get a chance to shoot.
Right. Which, again, that's one of the things that an idea I brought up a couple of years ago now, probably a couple of years ago, and that the whole idea of play by email FedCom, where it was basically speed FedCom. Pretty simple, pretty basic to do. And that is, you would plot all your subpulses.
Mm-hmm.
The cancels, and you know, you can still do the movement cancellation, but you still have to, you have to plan that. And turns and all that kind of thing. For all the subpulses, you both would have to submit what you're going to do, boom. So the whole idea of initiative when it comes to that would disappear. You know, the whole idea of initiative.
Well, in the sense that Starfleet battles never had initiative.
Well, it does, really.
Well, everything's simultaneous.
No, it's not. The Starfleet battles, when it comes to...
Starfleet battles?
Yes, the Starfleet battles. Let me explain. When it comes to initiative, it's defined by your speed. If you're going faster, you go last.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Yes, your movement is initiative, but your firing is, I was thinking, for some reason I forgot about that. I was thinking about impulse activity where there is no initiative.
Right.
Yes. So plotted movement would get rid of initiative. Interesting.
Right. So that would make things quite interesting. In that fashion. And I mentioned when it comes to FedCom, in that case, that you should be able to, if you have like an automated system set in place so that everything you do is secret, but that you both submit it to a shared service. And that shared service waits for both players to submit their orders, and there is no take backs. There is no mistakes.
Right.
You make a mistake, boom. Now, if you try to fire a weapon that you already fired, okay, well, nothing happens. But if you try to fire that you cannot fire, of course, nothing happens. But and that's fine. If you try to do an action that's illegal, it doesn't happen.
Well, that's interesting. Right. That's interesting, because if you get rid of initiative on movement, then one of the big advantages for going faster than your opponent goes away. And that means that going slower means you have more obviously the person who's going slower has the advantage of more power to do other things than move.
Yes.
So, but you lose the initiative.
Right. But here's
for movement.
Right.
And that initiative for movement is huge.
Right. And that's why.
So people are willing to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people are willing to spend a huge amount of energy that they would rather have spent on weapons or shields or other thing or tractors or whatever. Instead, they have to spend it on a movement to keep up, to have a higher initiative. And if you say, nah, there is no initiative anymore, you'll see ships, I suspect you'll see ships go a lot slower.
I'm not sure if I agree. Okay. This is going to be for FedCom only. Because, see, the thing is with FedCom, the only benefit that you get from going slower is that you might have some additional power to do some additional things. But unlike SFB, going slower doesn't give you more power for more defense. Because in FedCom,
you're battery limited.
Barely limited to the amount of reinforcement that you can do. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's, in that case, speed still matters. Because you can still outrun things. You can still outmaneuver your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, initiative no longer is an issue. You no longer have that advantage when it comes to speed.
Right.
But still, speed, turn mode, all that stuff still matters.
So, right.
Definitely one of those things that I definitely would like to look into. Let me just mention the stretch goals were either to finish either the Starmada or Starfleet Marine plugin, or update the infrastructure as a service to be more modern in nature. This would be a back end change that people would not see in theory.
Yeah.
And that degree, none of them actually were completed. The amount of conversions actually were up from last year, which is, I think, gives me like a quarter point on that. As I just reviewed for, you know, really quickly for people, how things stood. I at least got that part, the step one for that process completed. Though I have to do a little more comprehensive process of actually looking through the actual 3D conversions. So I have to wait and see how that goes on. So those are the New Year's resolutions and how well I did for this past year. And let me just see if... Yes. 262. Do you have anything to say?
No, Paul. Just logging in and listening for a change.
Ah, okay. Then I'll mute you again.
Everything's going.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
I'm just asking Barry how things are going. This is Ken Kaczynski.
Oh,
I haven't made it to Schenectady lately, so.
I haven't been there either. I've been new job. It's been keeping me away. It's 95%. Well, it's supposed to be 95% travel, but I'm having the worst of all worlds in that it's. I'm out here in Cincinnati, and I'm not on the road, so it's costing me more money, and I'm not able to expense it.
Ah, sorry to hear that.
It's like when I'm actually traveling for the company, that works out well because I can expense all my hotel rooms and stuff like that. Here I am in Cincinnati, and it's like, well, I end up eating out all the time because not so much fun to cook for one, and that gets expensive. And if you have an expense account to pay for it, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I know how that goes. Used to be on the road a lot. So I'm up in Milwaukee now. So.
You're where?
Up in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Then I realized everybody moved away.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, Paul, I got a dumb question for you.
Okay, then I'll probably have a dumb answer for you.
I downloaded the client.
Yes.
I downloaded the client. Where are all the def files?
What def files?
Or do you don't? Are you not get those until you have a subscription?
One, you don't get them until you have a subscription. And two, we no longer download them. They're accessible via the library, and you basically they'll download them on demand, and they'll keep them in memory, but they never save them to file anymore. Because that people, too okay. many people stealing basically the defs.
And that, yeah. Yeah, they were basically taking it and saying, why do I have to buy the SSDs when I can just download them for free? And
yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah. And I understand that. There's a lot of, there's some copyright issues there. And yeah. Steve, Cole, and others have spent much time and effort building those ships and creating them. It's their intellectual property, and that needs to be protected.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you...
So if you want to... If you want to work on a ship, that means you have to start from scratch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm assuming you
well,
want...
Well, I don't know, unless you can get a special dispensation from Steve saying, hey, I'm going to develop things, can I get a copy?
Well, the question is, what kind of ship are you planning on developing?
I was just going to work on some of the SSDs.
Oh, you mean to add ships to the library? Or do 3D
yes.
conversions?
No, just add ships to the library.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I had been checking all the version 2 ones against the database that I have. That's how you got some of those emails from me that says, hey, this is wrong, or this is these were missing, or this was wrong
mm-hmm.
in the old V2 one.
Always good to hear. Yeah, the funny part is that I've been, like, for the Andromedans, I did the conversion for the Andromedans this past year, which was actually quite an adventure because of... When we, as a process of doing these 3D conversions, we've discovered that some of these ships are just so wrong. Not the on the graphical image,
huh.
Not the graphical image, but what was defined to be for that box. Those have been so wrong.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. To the point
the box is not where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, well, things like, oh, we've got 40 shield number one boxes, and there's only 30 boxes there. And there's only 5 boxes of shield number
nope.
4 on the back end. And we find out that half of the shield boxes were instead of being specified shield number 6 or shield number 4, they're specified as shield number 1.
Ah.
I found a bunch of that in the old V2 stuff, and that's like I said, that's why I sent you the errors when I found them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd always send me an email back and said, what? Huh?
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, invariably, I would investigate and I would fix them for the ones I found, or the ones that were found. But, you know, the one thing I was going to point, I'm basically pointing out, is that there were some ships that were part of the library that were never, ever, ever used. They were never played.
Well, that makes sense. There were so many ships in that library, and not many of them. You know, you figure that 90% of the battles used 1% of the ships.
I think like 10%, but yeah.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, that's the part of the problem is that, you know, you buy an SSD book because there's one ship you want, and there's 37 ships you'll never use. But you end up buying the whole SSD book because you want, like, remember the original D7C? I think you had to buy a whole SSD book if you wanted that particular ship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one thing about Ken is that most probably... Steve Cull would like you to create third gen SSDs, which can be done.
Right.
Just need to email me what ship you want to do and see if we actually have a background image that you could use to actually create the SSD. Because Steve Cull has sent us.
I'll email you some other ideas.
Yeah, because Steve Cole has sent us a bunch of... Now, the one thing that we have been removing from the library are the contextual ones, the ones that were never really part of, you know, the actual product. You know, anything that was playtest or contextual, we've been removing from the library.
Okay.
Like the Brothers of something.
Anarchy.
Anarchy. Thank you.
Yeah, Brothers of Anarchy.
Yeah, those we...
Which
those
one?
Brothers of Anarchy. like converting Andromedans into like wind ships or Lyran ships into Hydrans. You know.
So you take a Lyran ship and you basically put Hydran weapons on it?
Correct.
What's the point?
Well, it's
just one of the articles in the captain's log.
Yeah. That they did for multiple captain's logs where they would do these conversions.
Yeah. Steve put an article in one of the captain's logs because he forgot that he told Patrick to do it, and he kept on, you know, doing the conversions, and then he submitted them, and he's like, oh, I thought I told you to stop.
Oops.
So.
Yeah, well, that whole thing reminds me of midterm speed changes and how complicated they got to be. And when we finally actually got Steve Cole involved, because Steve Patrick was trying to interpret what Steve Cole wanted for many years. So he came up, he'd come up with this and go, okay, here's the interpretation of that rule. And then we got Steve Cole actually involved, and he went, why is it so complicated?
That's not what I meant.
That's not what I meant. And he went, bump, 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 bump. It's like, wow, that's a much simpler idea of what exactly, how to calculate these things. It's like, yeah, that's how simple it's been. It's like, well, we've had all these really complicated explanations of how midterm speed change rules have it's supposed to work, so that's one of those things of miscommunication that occurs.
And none of the players went to Steve Cole and said, "Hey, yeah, you might want to simplify these rules a bit."
Yeah, well, that's what actually happened. We sat down with him at Origins. That's when he explained it to us. I was there when he did it. So it was like, wow.
Oh, that he explained what happened, but none of the players went to Steve Cole and said, hey, don't you think you should simplify these rules a bit?
Yeah, well, Barry, this happened during a tournament. Steve Patrick went to Steve Cole to ask about a midterm speed change. Okay, what's supposed to be calculated to be? And that's when he said, oh, it's that. It's like, okay. And then we got the players involved. And it's like, well, Steve, we always understood. But it's like, no, that's way too complicated. Who told you that? Well, Steve Patrick did.
Oops.
And, of course, Steve Patrick was just trying to interpret what Steve Cole says without bothering Steve Cole because it was Steve Patrick's responsibility to interpret the rules. You don't,
right.
To allow Steve Cole to do what he does best, which is design. But so basically, right. I was there that Origins when he did that, and I still remember. I think it was also I have to check to see if it's actually in the recordings that I got, because I know also he reviewed it, in the after talk. That he gives, state of ADB, state of that kind of thing, at the end of Origins, and I know I recorded a few of those. But anyhow, okay. Actually, I'm instead of giving the New Year's resolutions for this year, I've run out of time. So,
I am going to sleep myself. I'm going to say goodnight to everyone.
It's good to talk to you guys again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have a good night, Ken.
Have a good one.
And you too.
Yeah, have a good one. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, next week I'm going to come, I'll be coming back with the New Year's resolutions for this year. And what hopefully I will be able to accomplish. Just going to make one quick mention of what happened this past week. And that is that one of the things that I've actually happened in my life this past couple months, is that something happened at my archery club. And that is, okay, I just was the website person, the person who helped support the technology that we were using. But one thing that happened this year is our secretary basically was getting a new job, so he was moving out of the area, so he had to basically vacate his position. And also at the same time, we're actually having the we're voting in new officers. We voted in the previous officer, secretary, and then they said, well, we have someone who's already willing to take the position, me, because I already, Jason, who's the president now of Reading Archery Club, asked me if I would be happy to take over being secretary. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. And so I did. Well, one of the things that happens, unfortunately, this is the part of the year which is the most stressful for a secretary. And what is that? It's because, oh, we have membership renewals. And I think it could have been done a little better, and hopefully we can get a little better done next year. Maybe we can start earlier and possibly even start mailing out physical mails a little bit earlier too. But also I think the initial mailing was not done as well as it could have done been done, but okay, it is what it is. You know, hopefully we can improve next year. We can learn from our failures and we can go forward. One experience I had by doing all of this is that Wednesday night I started around 5 and I ended up around 9, possibly a little bit longer. I worked somewhere between 4 to 5 hours working on just the Reading Archery Club stuff, from the membership to actually getting the email account in order to updating the website. I was crazy busy. But here, the experience I had and the what I wanted to bring forward from that was that the benefit of having that focus. That evening, I sat down and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the membership because I couldn't have done it on Tuesday night because of other things. But on Wednesday, I said, okay, I'm going to start processing these memberships. So I kind of delayed it by getting the email accounts in order. And I will admit that up front that I did that. But at the same time, it really helped get that email account in better shape. It took me like an hour, maybe 2 hours to do that, but that was good. To update the website, it took me maybe half an hour. Here, the experience, as I mentioned, was that I had this focus for the evening. So I can get, I say, this is what I want to get done. Boom, boom, boom. That is where I've been lacking for the past year. And that is when I come on evening, is having a focus for that evening. What am I going to do? And that's one thing I have to figure out, what I'm going to do for that night. Whether it is focus on SFB Online and what I'm doing there, focus on Starfleet Warlord and what I'm doing there, focus on basically one thing at a time. Because I'm involved in all these kinds of different activities, from my archery club to SFB Online to Starfleet Warlord to also I've signed up for a this one thing called Word on Fire. It's about evangelizing to people, and which is always it's a good thing because it's about outreach and when it comes to the church and that kind of thing. And that's one thing I'm involved in. So that's something that's like one night, maybe not one night a week, but that one night, if that's a possibility, that I might actually focus on that, listening to the videos, talking with the community, things like that. But have it to that. So, with that, I want to see if I can do for this next week or so is practice the whole idea of focusing for that evening. Or, you know, for that day. Well, mainly for the evenings. You know, after work. What am I going to be focusing on and trying to move forward from that? So, with that, we're going to have a nice little discussion about what, you know, happened in the past year. What went wrong. And a little talk about some of the ideas for improving things for the upcoming year. A little bit. Though, I have not talked about my actual New Year's resolutions, for this upcoming year. And obviously some of those might change, but we'll have to wait and see. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.